I had my children on the floor. I was on my favourite blanket that my grandmother gave me on the floor like a cat.
And I realised in that moment the potential of what our bodies can really do as women.
Like, I could feel his head. I could do my own internal, like, yeah, his head, I could feel it.
I was in tears. I was just in tears and overwhelmed with gratitude.
Hi, and welcome to the Natural Birth Podcast, the podcast that is bringing embodied birth wisdom from women from all over the world sharing their natural birth stories. Don't forget to subscribe and download so that you can always have access to these empowering and positive natural birth stories.
Hi, my name is Anna, and I am the Natural Birth Podcast host. I'm a former midwife turned midwitch, and I now work with women worldwide, assisting them in having an empowering and natural birth experience and to truly claim their birth as a rite of passage. I offer one-on-one sessions and packages and online courses for conscious mamas who don't want to leave their birth up to chance. I also mentor current and aspiring birth workers in my Sacred Birth Worker Mentorship Program. If you want to know more about me and what I do in the world, then please visit me at thenaturalbirthcourse.com or connect with me on Instagram as The Natural Birth Podcast. Now, if you love this podcast, then please consider taking a moment right now and leave a review. They mean the world to me and is also your way of helping me reach more women around the world with these natural and empowering birth stories. Together, we are changing the birth narrative, one birth story at a time. Today on the Natural Birth Podcast, we have Olivia. Olivia is a mama of one from Virginia, USA, and is an elementary school teacher. She and her husband consciously conceived their son on their first try, and immediately after finding out she was pregnant, she wanted to know absolutely everything about birth, and of course found the Natural Birth Podcast. This led her to switching from thinking she should have a hospital birth with an OBGYN to a birth center birth with midwives at 28 weeks pregnant. Her birth ended up being a beautiful and sacred birth that left her feeling empowered and in awe of her body and how perfectly it was designed for birth. The first thing that she said after her baby was born was, "That was awesome. I could do that again." Curious about Olivia? Find her on Instagram as Olivia Dantenier. This episode is sponsored by Informed Pregnancy Plus, a brand new pregnancy, birth, and postpartum streaming platform packed with informative and entertaining video content. Among their comprehensive and growing list of movies, you can watch iconic films like Ricky Lake's amazing documentary, The Business of Being Born, and the juicy and empowering documentary, Orgasmic Birth. The mind and body section includes meditations, yoga classes, fitness workouts, and belly dance for birth, all included within the subscription. You find workshops and book reviews and TV-style series on topics from fertility to breastfeeding and everything in between. I highly recommend this streaming platform to all my clients as well as my mentees in my mentorship program because there are brilliant resources in there. And the best news is that you can try Informed Pregnancy Plus absolutely free of charge. Just visit Informed Pregnancy TV and start streaming today. Hi, Olivia, and welcome to the Natural Birth Podcast. How are you?
I'm so excited to be here. I'm great today. Thank you.
Great. Happy to have you here. So we're here today to talk about your birth center birth. And before we start, I would love to hear, where are you from and how old is your bub right now?
I am from Franklin County in Virginia. Which is where we still currently live. Grew up here since I was seven. Love this little area. And my little boy, it will be 6 months on Saturday.
Oh, beautiful. Well, let's dive on into the birth story. So tell us about getting pregnant and about your birth story, please.
Yeah. So my husband and I got married in December of 21. And then we knew that we wanted to have babies really quickly. But I'm a teacher. And so we wanted to try and plan that so that I could have baby and then be out of school for the summer. And so in my head, I was thinking, okay, let's start like a couple months early because it'll take a little while to get pregnant. And then that first month that we tried, we got pregnant really quickly, which we were very grateful for. And then it was just a really big journey from there after finding out we were pregnant.
Wow. What a magical thing to fall pregnant the first time you kind of consciously want to. It's such a blessing that that happened for you, and definitely not, you know, a common story. So I love when that story is shared on the podcast. So so you became pregnant. Did you know instantly that you wanted to have a birth center birth or a natural birth, or how did that kind of unfold for you?
I did not know. I grew up thinking that everybody goes to the hospital to have their babies. My husband was the same way. We have three nieces and they have children who all went to the hospital as well. And my husband grew up seeing hospital births, and that's all I ever heard of. I'm one of five children and we were all born at the hospital too. And so I did not originally, but I knew I wanted a natural birth too. And just thought I could go into the hospital and have that at first. So.
So what happened on that journey that changed your mind?
Well, we first went to have our, we had an intravaginal ultrasound, which I did not know was a thing, and that's how they did the first ultrasound. And so that was my first little inkling, like, this is not exactly what I thought that this was going to be like. It was very painful, was not a comfortable situation. And my husband was sitting in the corner with these big wide eyes, like, what is happening right now?
Gosh, yeah. That must have been really early.
Yes, it was. It was, I think we were at 9 weeks at that appointment.
And I had just gone, you know, if you just, you don't have to do an intravaginal one, like there is a dating scan around 12 weeks and you know, that's just on your tummy. So for anyone who's listening, like this is not something you have to do.
Yes, for future babies, I will not be participating in that scan because it was not, I know that it didn't benefit us in any way. I mean, it's cool to have the picture, I guess, but I would prefer saving the way that I felt about it over that picture. So, and then from there, we had continued to go see my original OB, just because I thought that's what you did. And we went to my 20-week scan, the anatomy scan, and everything was great and fine. Except that my obstetrician kept pressuring me to get the COVID vaccine and the flu vaccine and the Tdap while I was pregnant. And it was like every single trip, she would say, just go right around the corner. It's ready for you. And we would just leave because we knew we did not want that. And I had also started diving into your podcast and the Birthing Instincts podcast with Dr. Stu and just reading about natural birth and what you needed and what moms needed to have a natural and physiological birth. And so I came to her with all these questions. And my first question was about cord clamping. And I was like, does the hospital do delayed cord clamping? And she was like, oh yeah, we do like a minute and a half. And I was like, that is not delayed cord clamping. And so my husband and I left that appointment and decided we were like, we are not going back there. And so we did it. We didn't go back after that.
Love that. I guess it just makes me so happy when people are like educated and make informed decisions. It makes me so, so happy. Okay. So continue the story. What happened next?
Like you said, being educated, I feel like the second I found out I was pregnant, I needed to know everything about birth, what it felt like, what women's stories were. I needed to know the things that would happen in the hospital if this happened, what would be the repercussion of that? And so I did a really deep dive when I found out I was pregnant. And so when we left that appointment, I had previously scheduled to have the glucose test there, which was going to be done at 28 weeks. And I had decided in my head, like I hadn't fully, I hadn't canceled that appointment. And when I found Karen, which was our midwife in Rocky Mount, we went and interviewed with her, and I left there and was like, this is it. Like, I'm going to have my baby at this birth center. And so when I called to cancel that glucose test, the woman on the phone was very nasty to me. One of the things that she said I'll never forget was, I can't believe you would do that to your baby.
Oh my gosh.
Choosing to go to a birth center instead of going to the hospital. And I was like, okay, absolutely sure that this is not where I'm meant to be. So,
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So you swapped care. Was the care different when you went to the midwife compared to the OB?
Oh, yes. It was very different. I mean, when I would go to the OB, we'd see her for maybe 5 minutes. It'd be real quick. But when we would go to see Karen, we would go and she would, you know, do all the things, and she would actually sit and talk to me face to face and have a conversation and ask me how I was doing. She would ask my husband how he was doing. We were able to take classes with her to learn even more about what natural birth would look like and what it would look like specifically at a birth center, which I was very thankful for my husband, because he was a little standoffish at first, but that first appointment that he went to with me, he was all in. And even now he will go to work and tell his friends if they're having babies that they need to go see Karen at the birth center, because he had such a good experience with her as well.
Love that. Best.
Yeah, it was a wonderful experience with her. We really appreciated all that she did for us through pregnancy.
Did you end up doing the glucose test with her?
I did not. No, she doesn't. I don't even think she offers it. She did test my blood sugar. We did a little prick on my finger twice, but that was it. That was all we did for the sugar test. And both times she was like, yep, it's fine. We're good. And so I was like, this feels so much easier to me and on my heart. Because thinking about bringing my baby into the world, it's a really big deal. And I was nervous and I wanted it to be as smooth for him as possible.
Yeah.
And that's how I felt when I was with Karen, which was amazing.
I love that. So let's dive on into your birth story. Do you want to share with us, was there any early signs of labor approaching for you at all?
Yes, there were quite a few. So his yes date was February 1st of 23, which was a Wednesday. And I'm a teacher, and I went to work the previous Wednesday, so a week before his guest date, and got home, and my husband and I were intimate that night, and I had a little bit of bleeding. And so I texted Karen, and she was like, oh, it's normal. This is fine. And so we went to bed, and around 2 a.m, I woke up, and I had this weird sensation, and it's still very hard to describe, other than it felt like my cervix was opening. It was like I could feel it and visualize my cervix opening. And I started to get a little nervous at that time. But then I did a Christian hypnobirthing class while I was pregnant. And so I had the tracks. I put those in with my headphones and was listening to those and was doing just some breathing and was telling myself, it's okay if he comes a week early. If this is his time, then that's perfect. And then they kind of tapered off, and I woke up the next morning and decided not to go to work just in case. But then it kept tapering off. And so then I went to work the next day and Friday, and then I did most of the work week the following week as well. Even on my guest date, was at work and feeling great. And all my coworkers were like, I can't believe you hadn't had that baby yet. And just feeling wonderful and glowing, and like this was in my prime. And then
that Thursday, the day after his guest date, my husband and I were intimate again and had some even more significant bleeding. But I knew that it was normal and I was not worried anymore about that. And so I didn't go to work Friday and had some sensations Friday and Saturday. And my husband and I were intimate again on Sunday morning. And then that's when I started to feel even more pressure, was on Sunday morning. And I was leaning on my birth ball and we were watching church on the TV, I think. And I felt this trickling come down my leg. And I was like, babe, I think that my water's just broke. And he was like, oh, really? It's time. And I was like, I think so. And so I went to the bathroom and texted Karen and let her know. And she was like, okay, well, just let me know once they start to get a little stronger and closer together. And I was like, okay. And so they did start to regulate by then. And I wasn't timing them just because I didn't want that to make me nervous, like if they had started to taper off at some point, because I knew that if they started to get close together and then farther apart, that I would think too much about that. And my waters didn't, it was more of a trickling over the next couple of hours. It was not a big gush like you would see on TV. I totally thought that maybe that's what it would be like. And then, so that was at 10:30 a.m. was when that happened. And so we stayed at the house and was kind of laboring at home. And then around 1:30, I was sitting on the edge of our couch and I had this huge surge that brought me to the floor on my knees. And I was like, okay, it's time to go. And looking back, I think that if I had stayed home, he probably would have come within that hour, because I didn't have that feeling again until he came that night. That huge push down on my belly from him. And so around 2 o'clock, we headed to the birth center. And the car ride there wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be. I'd heard several birth stories of women saying that the car ride was one of the worst parts for them, but the car ride wasn't that bad. I mean, we live out in the mountains, and so getting to see like the lake we drove by and the mountains and the trees, I mean, it was really a smooth ride. And when we arrived, there was another woman there who was in labor too, and she had just given birth. And so I could hear the little baby in the other room, and which was sweet to hear, because I was like, oh, that's going to be us in a few hours.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was sweet.
How far away did you live from the birth center?
About 30 minutes, so it wasn't too far. Yeah. It was actually closer than the hospital would have been that I would have delivered at if we stayed with the hospital.
Right.
Which was also another perk of the birth center.
Yeah.
And so we got to the birth center and my mother and my sister came, which I was really grateful to have them there. And we went into our little room and Karen came in after a little while after she was done with the woman, the other woman that was there. And she gave me a cervical exam, which I will never do again. I hadn't had any previous cervical exams because I knew that they were not evidence-based and were not necessary. after she did that one, cause I had a contraction in the middle of the cervical exam. And I would say that it was worse than giving birth to my son, having that cervical check. And so, yeah, in the future, that will not be happening again because it was awful.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's not necessary. Yes. And I feel like it sent me into a headspace that I did not previously want to be in. Because I was like, okay, is that what giving birth is going to feel like now? And thankfully my husband was a really great support throughout that labor. And right after that happened.
When did you get to the birth center and how many centimeters did you say you were dilated?
So we got to the birth center around 2:30, and I think this must have been around 3, and I was 6.5 centimeters dilated.
All right.
So moving along pretty easily. And I think that if she had checked me before, I probably was dilated before, like days before this even happened. Because like I said, the Wednesday before, I felt like my cervix was opening that night. And so...
And we can definitely walk around like dilated.
Yes.
For sure. And especially when you've had several babies before, it's more common. But even so, as a first time mom, you can be like 2-3 centimeters, not even knowing it as well. And that is also like, it doesn't matter. That's like the point too, isn't it? That you can walk around 3 centimeters, or you can walk around fully closed and, you know, very kind of tilted back cervix that's not rough at all. And it doesn't tell us anything about how fast you'll labor and birth, actually.
Yeah, absolutely. And that was definitely something I learned from all of my research, was that you could be 2 centimeters 1 second, and then 30 minutes later, you're ready to go. Or you could be 7 centimeters dilated and stay there for a couple of hours.
Or days.
Or days, yes, you're right. Absolutely right. And so after that, my mom brought the speaker. That was her job, was to bring the speaker and the food. And so I put on my playlist that I had created and was just trying to find good positions. And I would kind of walk around and be on the ball and sway with my husband. My mom and my sister just kind of sat in the corner and watched and didn't really make any noise. And it was just really beautiful, that laboring. It was wonderful getting to be with my husband and kind of dance with him in that labor.
Hey, my lovely podcast listener. Did you know that you can work with me one-on-one? Let me share with you what that could look like. I work with women worldwide, online, in one-on-one sessions, from short 30-minute one-off consultations about specific questions unique to her, to packages involving many sessions spanning over pregnancy, birth, and the postpartum. We might work on facing her fears, deepening her relationship to her intuition, her body wisdom, and her baby's wisdom. Learning about her amazing body and the natural birth process, and how to prepare her body, mind, and soul for birth uniquely for her. With some women, I sit in birth debriefing sessions, helping her unpack her previous births and understand on deeper levels why things unfolded as they did, and start the healing process if she's had a traumatic birth experience in the past. With some, we plan a nourishing postpartum uniquely designed for her and her family's needs. And I journey with her and her family through pregnancy, birth, and beyond as her spiritual midwife. If this sounds like something you'd be interested in, then find out more about how to work with me at thenaturalbirthcourse.com.
Did your sister, has she given birth before?
She has, yes. She had a hospital birth and a pretty traumatic experience with that too. And so it was kind of nice to have her there and get to experience that birth with me, because when she has future babies, she wants to do either a home birth or a birth center birth too.
Such a gift to give to her.
Yes, it was wonderful. And she was a good help too. And so I had a poor time of keeping track of the time. I know we got there around 2:30 and we're just kind of laboring. And I remember hearing that it needed to keep my bladder empty. And so I would try to remember to go to the bathroom and to drink water, and was kind of eating peanut M&Ms while I was in labor. I don't know why that was what I was craving, but that's just what I wanted. And I remember it starting to get dark and
then sensations getting really intense. And when I would go to the bathroom at that point, like, it was almost unbearable to sit on the toilet in labor to go to the bathroom. And I'm sure if I would have forced myself to stay on the toilet, he probably would have come even quicker, because I know that that position was really good for my pelvic floor. Mm. And it did get to a point where I was like, okay, it hurts. Like, I can't stand anymore in a contraction. I would stand up in the middle of a contraction, then bam, it would hit me and I would hit the floor, like, on all fours. My body would just want it to be on all fours the whole time. And I was moaning itself. It felt like in my head, it was really loud, but looking back on videos that my sister took, it was not as loud as I thought that it was in my head.
So many women say that, that yeah. Internally they think that they're super loud. So I had so many women say that to me. Oh, I was so loud, wasn't I? And no, it's very, yeah. Like, it's often, and sometimes they are, of course, but like, a lot of the times you experience it louder within maybe than we experience outside.
Yeah. Yeah. And Karen would come in, I guess it was every hour, hour and a half, to just kind of check baby. She really wasn't in there through the majority of my labor. And so it was when it became to the point where I couldn't stand anymore that I decided to get in the birth tub, which was amazing. I mean, it felt so good to be in the tub and laboring, and I would have the contraction on all fours, and then I would sit and my husband would rub my shoulders. My mom would put a cool rag on my head and my sister would give me a sip of water in between each contraction. And it was like they were the perfect team for birth. And then I remember one specific contraction that it felt like my body was pushing. And I was like, this is the fetal ejection reflex. Like, this is what all these women were talking about. I know this feeling. And so I asked my mom to go get Karen, and she did. And Karen came back and sat with me for a few contractions. And she was like, oh yeah, this is definitely that. And I know at one point she asked me while I was in the tub if I wanted to be checked again. And in my head, I was saying, hell no. But then I went straight into another contraction and just didn't say anything. And so that we didn't have any more cervical checks after that. I just stayed in the tub.
It's a very good place, you know, it's a very good place to be in the tub to avoid any kind of poking, prodding and stuff like that. Right. So for anyone listening, if you just stay in the tub, you know, that's your safe, sacred, protected zone from absolutely everyone around you.
Definitely. Which was awesome. And I was thankful that she didn't try to push it. She asked that one time and I didn't respond, and that was it. And I was very grateful for that. And I want to say that my mom said that it was maybe 30 minutes after that first time I said that I was feeling that sensation that he was born. And so it wasn't very long from the start of that first pushing feeling. And that feeling was intense, and it was wonderful. I mean, it was the coolest thing that I had ever experienced in my life, was my body doing that for me. And I remember when I could feel him starting to crown, that he would kind of come out a little bit and then he would go back in, and then he would come out a little bit and he would go back in. And it was very hard for me to, in my mind, tell myself, just let him do what he needs to do. You don't need to do anything but just to be here. And I had to consciously tell myself not to push myself and let my body just do it. Which I was at the end very thankful for, because I knew that was him stretching me and doing what he needed to get into the best position. And so after the head was born, well, actually right before that, I heard this big
and I had another release of waters.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, that was my waters. Like, I remember getting so excited about that. And not even realizing that I didn't know that I had any more waters, because I thought that it had trickled out earlier that day. But it was cool. It was very cool to get to hear the pop in the tub.
But it can really be, so it could have been like a hind water leak that you had before that was trickling. And sometimes we're just very, 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 very juicy, that it can feel like it's your waters, but it's actually just like, you're just very juicy in the end, which is great for birth, right?
Yes.
So sometimes it's hard to know if, is this a hind water leak or is this just being very juicy?
Mm-hmm.
And so it could be a hind water leak. So that could have, you know, been dripping. And then of course, when the like front pops, it's also water.
Yes. And it was right after that pop that his head was born. Like the pop happened and his head was born. Mm. And then right after his head was born, I kept feeling this turning, and I thought Karen was back there turning him. And I was like, what are you doing? And she was like, I'm not doing anything.
Yeah.
And he was turning himself. And I was like, that is wild that he knows how to do that. It was surreal to feel that.
It's the baby. The baby knows how to birth itself.
Yes.
They are innately intelligent. They know how to birth themselves. It's amazing.
Yes,
you're not doing it alone. You're birthing together.
Yes, we were. I mean, it's indescribable how it felt. And then after, it was one contraction for his head to be born, and then he turned, and then he just shot out like a rocket. Like he didn't come out slowly. He was fast right after that. And Karen passed him through my legs, and his little head got caught under the shirt that I was wearing. And so we had to pull that over, and I just held him in the tub, and my husband came around, and it took about a minute or so for him to make his first cry, but everyone in the room saying anything about it. I mean, it was, and in my head, I knew that after having a water birth, that it takes babies a little bit for them to make their first sound and to breathe. And then he let out this big, beautiful cry after about a minute or so. And we just stayed in the tub for about 10 minutes or so, I think, 10, 15 minutes. And my husband then cut the cord. We drained the cord and then cut it. And then I just stepped right out of the tub like I had just ran a mile or something. You know, I just walked right out, and I remember Karen saying, wow, you are a lot stronger than I thought you would be after you had just given birth. And so I got out of the tub, and immediately my placenta just plopped right out, which I was very grateful for, that it came quickly. And so we just went to the bathroom and cleaned myself up a little bit, and then she checked for a few tears, and I only had like one labial tear throughout that birth, which was great. And then we just laid in the bed, and my baby did the breast crawl, which was so wonderful and gorgeous to see that he could do that and lift his head only, you know, minutes after being born.
They're so strong.
Yes.
When they're born, you know, they also get this rush of adrenaline to like, so when they come out, if they haven't been drugged, you know, if they've had a natural birth, they will be like so alert. They will be so alert, the most alert they'll be for probably, I don't know, a year maybe. Like they're so awake, and they imprint on your face and your scent, and just, they're like sponges just learning about life, right? When they come out, and they're so strong. They can do a little army crawl, you know, that baby crawl is like an army crawling. Like, they're so strong. They're amazing.
Yes. And he everything all the time.
Yeah, I lost you there, Olivia. What did you say? You froze.
I said that he's very alert, that he wants to see everything all the time.
Mm.
And that's definitely how he was from the minute he was born. and he latched really well. And I remember after he was born, I couldn't sleep for like 24 hours because I had this flood of hormones and I was just so in love. So he was born at exactly 9 p.m. that night. And my mom made this delicious quiche and my sister had a parfait for me and was feeding me while I was feeding the baby. And I was just sitting there looking at how beautiful he was. And after they left and we were kind of like going to bed, I could not go to sleep because all I wanted to do was stare at him because he was so beautiful. And I was so excited that I had just done that. And I remember right after he was born and I was holding in my arms, I remember saying, that was so awesome. I could do that again. And I could. I mean, I still feel that way today, like telling my husband all the time, like, okay, when are we going to have another baby? Can we have one already? because we do want many more. And and so that night was just me holding him, looking at how beautiful he was and how wonderful that experience was, and thankful that we got to have that experience together and that we chose the birth center instead of a hospital, because I know it would have been nothing like that if we had chosen to go to the hospital.
Yeah. Wow. How beautiful. And what a beautiful start to life for your baby. And, and that's the thing, the magic with physiological birth, like that high that you speak of.
Yes.
Yeah. It's, you can't explain it. Not until you're experiencing it either as the birthing woman, but even so, even the people in the room, I mean, you're, sister would have probably felt so, it would be so healing for her to witness you birth this way, and also for her to feel the oxytocin in the room that you actually, like, you emanate, like in the room feel it. I, you know, get high just witnessing and being in that love energy that is produced at birth, and that first hours after birth, it's delicious, and it's nothing compares to it. Nothing.
Yeah. I totally agree. I mean, it's indescribable. It really, you will never be able to understand it unless you go through it yourself, because it is, like you said, you don't know how to describe it, because it is the most beautiful, natural feeling that I've ever had in my life.
Beautiful. So if you had a first-time mom in front of you right now who's about to have her first baby, and she really wants to have a natural and empowering birth experience, what advice and pearls of wisdom would you give to her?
I think I would say, number one, trust your instincts, because that was the biggest thing for me. I think from the beginning, my instincts were telling me what my body needed and how my body was perfectly designed for birth, and that I don't need anyone else coming in and trying to tell me how my body is supposed to birth. And so trust your instincts, because those were given to you for a reason. And the other thing is, don't go to the hospital, because if you want a natural and empowering birth, the hospital setting is not built for that. OBs were trained in the pathology of birth, which is the disease of birth. They are not trained in the natural setting of birth. And that's not their fault. That's just how they were brought up in their schooling. And so if you want to have an epidural and all of those things, then yes, the hospital is the space for you. But if you do not want those and you desire not to have those, then you don't need to be at the hospital, even for the just-in-case situations, because those just-in-case situations are so minimal that doctors probably couldn't even tell you what the percentage is. And so that would be my biggest advice for women who want a natural and empowering birth.
Thank you so much for coming on the podcast and sharing your birthing wisdom with us. It's been a pleasure having you.
Thank you. It's been really wonderful to be here too.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening. If you love this podcast, then please consider sharing it, leave a review, or make a contribution on our Patreon page. And if you want to connect on social media, then find the podcast on Instagram as The Natural Birth Podcast. Thank you for listening.